We have with us Dr. Emma Bragdon, who's going to talk a little bit with us about her book that she's got out and about John of God. How are you, Emma?
I'm just fine. Thank you, Ava.
Thanks for coming on today.
I appreciate the opportunity.
So tell us a little bit about you before we get started in about John of God. Tell us a little bit about your background and what you've done.
Well, I started my early adulthood actually at a Zen Buddhist center. I was more or less a nun, although I was living with someone at the time, my husband. But I started life deeply involved in meditation. And after that, a Japanese teacher, Suzuki Roshi, passed on in 1971, I started studying with Native American shaman.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been involved since that time, especially I've been involved with alternative forms of healing, those connected to indigenous cultures as well as those coming out of our own culture. And in the early 80s, I took a PhD course in transpersonal psychology. So my doctorate is in transpersonal psychology, and my dissertation was on spiritual emergency, meaning the crises people go through as they awaken on a spiritual level.
Mm.
So since that time, I've practiced as a licensed psychotherapist and then went on to teaching a 9-day experiential course for 12 years. And then on invitation by some Brazilians to come down and teach there, I went to Brazil in 2001 and ended up going over to the site where John of God does his work, basically because I was curious.
Okay.
And then all kinds of things happened while I was there in the first 24 hours. It shook me to my roots, really, my experience, and changed the course of my life dramatically. And so since 2001, I have been a guide to Casa Dominacio on invitation of John of God, and have been volunteering my services there as I could, and have been inspired to write one book about John of God called Spiritual Alliances, and another book about Spiritism, which is Brazil's form of our spiritualism. And that book, Kardec Spiritism, came out a couple years ago.
Well, for people who don't know, why don't you tell us who John of God is?
Well, John of God is a very normal Brazilian man in some ways.
He's a peasant, right?
Excuse me?
He's a peasant, right?
Yes. He grew up in a very poor family. He has a second grade education, but he is functionally illiterate. But by the age of 16, or at the age of 16, he found out that he had an extraordinary ability to heal people, but he is an unconscious medium, which means that he goes into an altered state of consciousness or a trance state, and while he's in that trance state, he is unconscious, meaning he has no memory of what happens when he's in that state. But he was told when he was 16 on one particular evening that he'd gone into this trance state and had healed many people, and that he was basically extremely gifted, and it was inferred that he had a mission from God directly to continue on being a healer. And this man asked him, "Will you accept that mission? Will you promise to perform?"
A man asked him this?
Yes, a man at a spiritist center.
Mm-hmm.
He actually had an interaction with a being that was not in a body that had directed him to the spiritist center.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he performed the healings, it was a man who asked him if he wanted to continue on with the mission. And as the story goes, he said yes. And then since that time, which is he's in his early 60s now, so that was 45 years ago, he has been doing his healing mission, which often is 6 out of 7 days a week, He's either working at the Casa do Minasio, which is his sanctuary in Brazil, or he travels to other centers and sometimes just public areas like sports arenas where people will gather, and then he works with everyone that he can until everyone who wants to be seen by him has been seen.
Now, if I've heard this story right, this was not an easy road for him. He had to go through a lot, didn't he?
He has been through a lot. He's been persecuted, and, of course, medical authorities would say that he practices medicine without a license. And religious authorities want to disempower him because he basically has something that's a spiritual center, and he's performing healers without really the endorsement of the Catholic Church or any other church. So there's no priesthood. There are no set prayers that are associated with any particular religion. Mm-hmm. And some people might say that he's more powerful than some of the priests who claim to have more of a direct connection to God. So from time to time, people have been very aggressive towards him.
Yeah,
and that means religious authorities, medical authorities, as well as legal authorities.
Mm-hmm.
And he still has to be extremely careful in the way that the sanctuary is conducted so that he doesn't call upon himself or have others call upon the sanctuary something that might get him into trouble.
What about here in the States? Has NFAM or NCAM, the National Foundation of Alternative Medicine, or the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine, have they looked into this at all? Do they believe it?
Well, I actually had as my guest the head of research for the National Foundation of Alternative Medicine. That was in April of 2004.
Was that Mark Navin?
No, that wasn't Mark. Mark was the managing, actually, NFAM at the time. He was the president of NFAM,
mm-hmm.
and Marianne Richardson was the head of research, and she was the one who came down. She was basically doing a field study to understand if they wanted to do more in-depth research at the Casa do Minasio, where John of God works. And I found her to be a wonderful human being, very open-minded. And in fact, at one point, she walked up to John of God and was just asking a question having to do with her own personal health concerns. And he asked if she wanted to sit right down in a chair in front of him and have physical surgery right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
And she said yes. And in fact, I had a professional camera team there, and they actually put it on camera. And she was very courageous, I thought.
What did he do to her?
Well, he did a very small surgery, taking out a cyst on one of her toes.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when he does surgery, he either does what's called invisible surgery, which is what we would call psychic surgery,
mm-hmm.
which obviously doesn't include the use of any kind of instruments other than the mind and the heart. But he also will, at times, while he's in trance, do physical surgery. And that really flies in the face of everything that we've learned that about what's safe or what's scientific or what's even possible. Because when people are having that kind of surgery, he's using a knife, but he's never been trained as a surgeon. He's able to do sometimes very complicated surgeries, which some of our finest neurosurgeons or other types of surgeons will refuse to do because they recognize that it's extremely complicated and the patient might die. But John of God has, at some times, performed such intricate surgeries to great success, and it's taken him a very short period of time.
Now, didn't one of the major networks do a story on him? Didn't I see that on TV?
Yes, ABC Primetime did a lengthy, well, one-hour story. So their whole show was devoted to a story on John of God that aired last February.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did a follow-up several months later in which they basically aired the same show but deleted a little bit of material and added a review of what had happened to the people that they'd interviewed.
And he does things like scrape cataracts off with a kitchen knife, doesn't he?
Well, it sounds so bizarre to even talk about it, but yes, he does eye surgery, and he does use what you would commonly, and I would commonly use in my kitchen, a paring knife, and he literally scrapes the surface of the eye, so there is contact from the between the knife and the eye, but it's not always a cataract. In other words, he could do this eye surgery, and it might, in fact, be impacting a organ of the body or a system of the body. It's not necessarily done only to help some kind of condition that's related to the eye.
Mm-hmm. And I've read lots and lots about this man, and he's cured cancers and made people walk and taken out brain tumors and cured AIDS. Am I right?
Well, yes, you're right. Under his hand, people have experienced getting cured, but one thing that's extremely important to remember, and something that he says whenever he gets a chance, is he says, it's not I, but it's God that is doing this healing. So we in North America and in most developed areas, you know, look at doctors as being the people who will give us a magic pill and make everything better. We've just been trained that way. Now, that doesn't mean everyone thinks that way, but an awful lot of us do. And so many people go down to see John of God thinking that he's going to perform a miracle and he's some kind of magician. And it is true that people do have physical cures in mysterious ways down there. In other words, they may get an eye scraping, but then their gout goes away, you know, that was on their mm-hmm. foot. But when he says it's not I...
are involved?
Pardon me?
Would that be because emotions are involved?
Well, I think it's a lot of different things, Eva. It's I think it's because the spirit is involved, and actually people need to be doing a considerable amount of work on themselves as part of their healing. I think you and I have both heard people say strange things like, this illness I got was a great gift.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't consider pain or illness usually a gift, but sometimes people say, well, ask themselves, well, why did I get this? Or what am I to learn from this? Or the illness puts them on their back and they're suddenly face to face with their own thoughts and their own spirit, and they wonder, you know, what am I leading my life in a way that I want to be leading it? Or what are the real values that I have in my life, or what gives my life meaning? And they go through a process, which oftentimes is a process of inner transformation, where they realign themselves and reprioritize their lives. And it's a kind of inner transformation that involves what we might call inner work. And when you go and actually talk to John of God or consult with him, he will often say, you know, come and have psychic surgery or take this herbal supplement, but now that I've given you that direction, now go do your work. In Portuguese, it's vai trabalho, go to work. And what he's saying is, sit in meditation and go through a process of really looking at your life and purifying your thoughts and purifying yourself on a deep level.
What exactly happened to you?
Well, when I first arrived there, as far as I know, I had no illness at all, and I had a curiosity on a spiritual level and an intellectual level. And shortly after I arrived, I walked up to John of God with, well, the first time I actually saw him, he looked at me and he said, I know you. And something happened in the interaction which just literally left my body shaking so hard I had to lean up against my friend. I felt that some enormous energy was moving through me, and something that I had never met before.
Mm-hmm.
Within that first 24 hours, mediums who work at the casa, who I had never met before, came up to me and said, you've come here to learn about spiritism and bring it to the rest of the world. And I thought, this is very odd. I don't know what to think. Do they say this to everyone, or are they looking for someone and they think I'm a likely target? Or I didn't trust their inner sight at first. And then as I meditated there, the inspiration for my books came to me. And then I went to John of God and I said, is this accurate? Am I really being asked to do this on a spiritual level? And he said yes. And then he checked out with me as I went through the process of writing these books. But on a physical level, I also approached him from time to time, often with a photograph of someone else. And quite early in my stay, I approached him with the photograph of a young man who had heart problems. And I held the photograph out to him, and he looked, John of God looked at me, and he said, you need surgery this afternoon. And I said, no, you misunderstood. It's about this boy here. And he said, no, you misunderstood. You need surgery this afternoon. And so I honored what he said, and I went into the room for psychic surgery that afternoon. And I clearly felt that there was something, which I'll call surgery, going on inside my heart. But it happened in a way where I felt it was physical, but it, on a deeper level, I felt that it was actually attending to emotional patterns, old wounding that I had had earlier in my life, and probably things that I had even brought from possibly other lifetimes,
mm-hmm.
as if it was attending to a pattern that had been with me since time began. So it was a very profound experience. And after the surgery, I walked out of the room, as people do, and followed the protocol, which is to go and rest for 24 hours. But I felt as if I had been given anesthesia. In other words, as soon as I got back to the room in the hotel, I almost fell on the bed and into a deep, deep sleep. And frequently after that time, and while I was still at the casa, I had a tremendous need for rest and sleep. And this happens to a lot of people who go there. They actually call it a spiritual anesthesia. But it takes people over and puts people in a state where they feel a tremendous need for rest. And my sense is that's part of the work that goes on there. We might not call it surgery, actually, but in the rest, I think there's a strong possibility that benevolent entities are actually present and working with people. And it's possible that our spirits actually go to a perhaps another dimension where we're learning and going through a process of transformation.
Well, one of the things that I've heard is that when he goes into this state, that there are some surgeons, Brazilian surgeons who are now deceased, that comes and works through him. Why do they say that?
Why do they say that that's going on?
Mm-hmm. Why do they say that it's surgeons coming to work through him? What information does he have that makes him think that or know that?
Well, again, this gets back, first of all, to the fact that he has a second grade education.
Mm-hmm.
So he has absolutely no education and formal training in being a surgeon. So one has to ask, well, where does he acquire this? And how is it that he can go into a trance state where he is unconscious, or at least his personality isn't active at all,
mm-hmm.
and be able to perform these extraordinary feats of that are usually attributed only to someone who's really an expert surgeon? So we could say from the outside that, well, that's just a nice explanation to say that some guy who lived 100 years ago who was a great surgeon comes into him. But when you're in his presence, you can actually see that there are personality shifts that he goes through that seem to relate to certain personalities that come into him. In other words, his own personality leaves, another personality comes in, and there are histories of the various people that come into him that are known, and photographs of them or graphic renditions. And his body will actually take on the posture as well as he comes across as that other personality. And one personality walks with a limp, and when he is incorporating that particular personality, he'll walk in the same way they did with that particular limp.
Interesting.
So, I mean, it's very, of course, difficult to document, but in a scientific way, or at least what we call science. But I've come to feel that Spiritism has a tremendous amount to give us, and so I feel that it certainly doesn't hurt anything to explore this Spiritism from the point of view of, yes, this is true, and look at it and appreciate this whole phenomenon from the point of view that it's absolutely true.
Now, I was reading in your book, and one of the stories was talking about he was going to repair a hernia, and he made a slit himself with a knife, and then suddenly another slit appeared all by itself.
Yes.
That really happens?
Absolutely.
The incisions appear by themselves, and I've heard that the bleeding is a lot less than it is with normal surgery.
Yes. So when he's doing the physical surgery, this spiritual anesthesia comes over people so they don't feel pain, and sometimes an incision will just appear. It doesn't. It usually happens that he makes an incision. But sometimes an incision will actually appear without his using a knife. Or sometimes when a person is not even with him physically, but let's say they're in their room or they're taking a walk, there have been times where people have had a spontaneous bleed. In other words, their skin will open up as if there's an incision that has taken place. And John of God isn't physically present, their skin will open up, or they'll wake up in the morning and they'll wake up in the morning and they'll have a scar on some part of their body where they've never had an incision, and then that scar will disappear within a day or two.
Now, do people have to believe that this will happen for it to work, or does it matter what they believe?
No, they don't have to believe it. There are many people who go down there quite skeptical, and I would say that I was absolutely one of them. Not to say that I went down there with a motive to criticize and to consider that the whole thing was ridiculous, but I went down there with an open mind and at the same time just thinking this couldn't be true. This is just too bizarre. And I think it's good for people to keep some of their skepticism, you know?
Yeah. Have they been able to teach this to anyone? Has he had any students?
Well, from time to time, he will actually do something which we might call an initiation. So there are many healers, spiritual healers and nurses, doctors, other people who are working in the healing profession who are drawn to go down there because they want to see this phenomenon, and some of them feel drawn knowing that if they're around John of God, that they will, it will amplify their own ability to be healers.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, these people will approach John of God, and he will, in some form, assist them to bring their energy up to a level where they can be more effective as healers. So I write about it in one chapter of my book, a woman who went down there who is an excellent body worker, and she went with a friend who was also a healer, and at one point they had their thumbs sewn together with the same piece of thread, suggesting that there was some very important alliance between the two of them. But also there was something very magical that happened in that process, where they were brought into a whole other field of knowing.
Who sewed their thumbs together?
John of God, when he was in entity.
And how'd that come apart?
Well, it was one piece of thread that penetrated the fleshy part of at the base of the thumb,
mm-hmm.
and went through that part on one person, and then it was a very long thread and connected to the other thumb on the other person.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So tell us, let me ask one question. I want you to tell us some stories that you've witnessed, but what does the people at the NIH think about this? Because I know they're so conservative thinking.
Well, I don't think that there's been a public statement from the National Institute of Health about John of God. I would be very surprised if there was. Most conventional medical people, in other words, individuals and establishments, basically don't know what to think of him. And I think it takes a very courageous physician who has studied in the conventional medical school to stand up and say, I'm actually here witnessing John of God, and this is accurate what he's doing, and I trust that what he's doing is all right for the patient, because it flies in the face of everything one learns in medical school.
Well, for the people listening, one of the reasons that we're doing this show, because I know that you were on another show this week on this radio station, that John of God's coming to Atlanta in April. And from what I understand, he's never been out of Brazil before, so it's a real opportunity for somebody that wants to see him. I forget what is that, week after next that he's coming to Atlanta?
Well, he'll be in Atlanta April 2nd, which is a Sunday, and April 3rd and 4th. And so that's next weekend.
And I think you can get to that website. Is it John of God Atlanta or JOG Atlanta?
John of God in Atlanta .com.
I mean, it's a rare opportunity. If anybody has anything wrong that nobody's been able to fix, it's certainly an opportunity to possibly get healed from it. So tell us some things that you've witnessed or that you know about that's happened down there, Emma. Some of the miracles you've watched.
Yeah. One of the first stories that comes to mind was I was sitting in the what's called the current room, which is basically a meditation room, and quite close to where John of God was doing his work. And a Brazilian woman was in line. She came up to him and basically asked for healing. And right on the spot, as she was standing, literally standing on her own two legs, he performed surgery and took out a tumor that was in her ovaries. And this happened, it was probably about 4 or 5 feet right in front of me. And I had my eyes open because at that point we were invited to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, how can this woman stand on her feet? And she must be experiencing pain. But I looked at her face, and it looked to me as if she was not only pain-free, but having a spiritual experience, because she had the face of a Madonna, and she was looking at other people in the room as if love was just pouring out of her eyes. And this was right in the midst of her having a surgery. So
how did he do it?
Well, he just simply lifted her shirt, and her pants were put a little bit below her belly, and he takes a scalpel out of a packaging, so it's a sterile knife,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't have any gloves on, but he does use a sterile knife, and he simply opened up her belly, and he stuck his fingers right in, took out the tumor, and then an assistant would give him a needle and thread, which, I mean, it looks like the kind of needle and thread that we might darn a old pair of socks with, you know?
Amazing.
I mean, it's not quite that thickness of the needle, but it's a very typical needle and thread. And then either he or the assistant will simply sew it up, but it's not sewn with great delicacy.
Mm-hmm.
But people heal from this without infection, and the evidence that there's been surgery oftentimes completely disappears so that there's no scar.
I saw a video one time that, I don't know what he was doing, but he didn't even use a knife. It was just like he just stuck his hand inside somebody's abdomen. And it penetrated and went inside, and he pulled out something, and then it was like his hand was just never there.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Yes. But I don't doubt that at all. It's, of course, harder to see exactly what's going on. But in some circumstances. And so I find that some of the most amazing experiences I've had are when I'm watching him do physical surgery. At one point, I was standing next to a woman that was on one of my tours, and she had never been out of the United States before, and it was her first day in Brazil, and he again asked her if she wanted surgery that day. She said yes, and she sat down in a chair in front of him, and she had a tumor about the size of 1.5 grapefruits that was just in her upper abdomen. And he made an L-shaped incision, and for about 20 minutes, he just kept putting his hand inside of her abdomen and taking out more of this tumor. And she was talking to me throughout this.
Really?
And I thought, you know, the woman's probably disoriented. She's in pain. My God, what's she going to think? This is her first day out of the United States, and she's got the hand of this Brazilian healer inside her belly. But she was absolutely fine throughout the whole thing. In fact, she said she was concerned about someone who was standing on her other side. She said, "Is he all right?" And she was completely lucid and without pain.
That's just amazing.
Yeah. And then again, she was sewn up. Then what they do with people who've had the physical surgery is they take them into what's called a recovery room, where they lie down on a bed. There is a licensed nurse attending, but what they do to clean the wound or after the surgery is put blessed water on it, or holy water.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's generally suggested for anyone who's had any problem down there, even like a migraine headache. They use the blessed water to assist them to heal.
That's just amazing.
Yeah, so it's really a kind of all-around medicine, if you will.
Now, you take people on trips down there, don't you?
What would it cost somebody
if they had wanted to go down there?
Yeah, about 3 or 4 times a year, I take small groups down. I feel it's very important for people to get not only physical support, in other words, getting from the airport to the inn and getting what they need at the inn, et cetera, but emotional and spiritual support, because the phenomena of being down there is so extraordinary. People go through a lot of inner change as they're there, and it's very helpful to be part of a supportive group and be with a guide who has experience with what's going on there, both so they can be supportive, but also assist them to really take advantage of all the resources that are there.
And he doesn't charge, does he?
He doesn't charge any money for the surgery he does or the consultation he does. The only charges people have from the casa are if herbs are prescribed, and then the round of herbs they get are $25 for 44 days. So that isn't expensive.
Mm-mm.
And then there's something called a crystal bed, which is a treatment that is quite passive. You lay on a massage table, and 7 crystals are suspended on a frame over your body, aimed at the 7 chakras of your body, or energy centers.
Mm-hmm.
And then very easy music is played for 20 minutes during your treatment, and light is pulsed through the crystals that are aimed at your chakras.
Mm-hmm.
And people find it to be at the very least profoundly relaxing and in some cases people have extraordinary healings just lying there, and those healings are attributed to the benevolent entities that are working at the casa.
Amazing. So what would it cost somebody to do a whole trip down there and back?
Well, if they go with a guide, the average for the guide fee is about $1,600,
mm-hmm.
which covers their room and board and the transfer fees back and forth from the airport. And the guide fee in terms of the guide being with them and guiding them through the process for the full 2 weeks that they're there.
Does that cover their airfare too?
No, it doesn't. No, airfare, depending on where a person's coming from,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
I live in Vermont. People I take come from all over the world. So the airfare is up to the person who's going.
Mm-hmm. And how would they get in touch with you?
They could get in touch with me either by email, which is ebragdon@aol.com, or through my website, which is emmabragdon.com.
And what's the name of your book? How could somebody get a hold of that?
Well, the book that is about the casa, which really describes quite fully what the experience is like being at the casa, as well as interviews with physicians and people who have experienced healings, that book is called Spiritual Alliances, Discovering the Roots of Health at the Casa del Manacio. And I have that for sale on my website, emmabragdon.com, and it's also available online at Amazon, as well as can be ordered through bookstores.
We've got a few more minutes. Why don't you tell us a few more stories, because the stories just amaze me.
The stories are amazing.
I actually saw somebody on whatever that show was that had an incurable brain tumor. Were you aware of that guy?
Oh, Matthew. His name is Matthew Ireland, who was interviewed for ABC Primetime.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. He's actually a friend of mine. And is going to be leading groups with me. His story is absolutely extraordinary, especially because he's a Vermont boy, so we live in the same state. At least he used to live here. And when he was given the diagnosis of an incurable brain tumor, and he was told he was in stage 4 of a cancer process, he was basically given several weeks to live, but this was from one of our finest hospitals associated with Dartmouth College. And instead of going home to die, he opened himself to the possibility that he might get healing in Brazil. And with the support of friends and family, he flew down to the center where John of God works. And with great dedication and faith, followed all the protocols, did his inner work, sat for long hours in meditation doing his inner work, and followed all the advice from John of God, and he's now cancer-free.
What
completely.
Kind of advice was he given? What did he have to do?
Well, he had to do some of the psychic surgery. He didn't have physical surgery.
Really?
Yeah. And then
he had a big portion of his head missing. I guess he had had surgeries before.
He had a shunt put in at the hospital in order to take the fluid that was gathering in his head and put it down into his stomach area so that it could be eliminated from his body.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't take out the tumor. So when he went down to the casa, he still had the tumor in his brain. And at this point, there's no evidence of cancer in his system.
They did MRIs and things, and there's nothing there.
Well, he's been living in Brazil, so he has not done an MRI.
Oh, he didn't come back?
He didn't come back to do that, no. But actually, excuse me, I misspoke, because when I last saw him, he did say that he'd gone into the hospital for tests, and John of God had actually asked him to go and get the tests to demonstrate to the world about his healing.
What did the doctor say?
Well, again, he didn't come up here, back to Vermont, to be tested. But the doctors, I mean, all you can do is just say, this is amazing, this is awesome. We don't have any explanation for this. But, you know, there are thousands of Spiritus centers in Brazil. And extraordinary healing is more evident in Brazil than it is here. And doctors, I think, are more respectful of it in Brazil. Of course, there are doctors that are highly conventional that can't believe it could happen, just as there are here. But there are also more open-minded physicians in Brazil.
That just sort of just amazes me. Tell us another story. Can't get enough.
Okay. There's a wonderful story from a woman that I met down in Brazil. She is Brazilian, and when she was a housewife with a five-year-old, she went to the casa because her five-year-old was extremely retarded on an intellectual level as well as a emotional level, and she was asking John of God for help. And he said, you need to come back 9 times with your daughter. So they came back, and the daughter and the mother sat in the current room and did the surgeries when he advised for her to do the invisible or psychic surgery. And at this point, that young girl, who was 5, is now a PhD engineer, completely independent, completely normal, probably, I think we'd say above normal intelligence. And her mother was so impressed with what happened, the whole course of events, that she went back to medical school, became an emergency room physician. But when she's not working in the emergency room, she goes back to the casa and helps out as she can as a healer.
That's amazing.
So people's lives are transformed in ways that go far beyond the physical healing, even though the physical healing is miraculous enough, you know?
Yeah. Now, I know here in Atlanta, I know that they're expecting 3,000 people to come. How on earth is one man going to see 3,000 people?
Well, actually, right? I've heard that it's 2,000 each day is capacity, but I may be wrong with that. But John of God actually has, in the past, managed 2,000 to 3,000 people every day. And this also flies in the face of what we consider reasonable. But
Does he do mass healing?
Pardon me?
Does he do mass healing?
Well, when you approach him, you might think that the most important thing is to communicate your story to him. But it's as if when he is being the unconscious medium, in other words, he's incorporated someone, he can see through a person and see exactly what their problem is immediately. So even as you approach him, he's often writing out your prescription. Or he's saying to the interpreter, if you don't speak Portuguese, he talks to an interpreter that you need surgery or you need something in particular. So he oftentimes never has to talk to a person. So his whole interaction can take 1 or 2 seconds.
Really?
And surgeries that might take 8 hours in a surgical theater here might take him 5 or 10 minutes. So the whole time that he needs is very brief. But in terms of his being able to attend to people, for instance, in psychic surgery, that's done through prayer. So he doesn't put his hands on people when they're having psychic surgery. And he'll simply walk into a room where people have gathered who have been told that it's time for them to have their psychic surgery. He'll say a prayer. And my own sense is that he opens up a space it's hard to find words for this. Something happens, something becomes open, and it's like lots of benevolent entities start working on the people simultaneously, so that each person in the room is being worked on simultaneously.
That's just amazing.
And so you can't really say it's John of God doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more appropriate to say that he's opening the door to many thousands of benevolent entities coming to work on people.
Consciousness, basically.
Well, We could say that, but that might be a little too intellectual. There may, in fact, be disembodied beings who are looking for the opportunity to come and help people embody.
That's just amazing, Emma. It really is.
Well, it's hard to find words for it, and because I'm a writer, I've been trying to find the words, and somehow I've been inspired to find some words that have managed to work for most of us. And I try to be a bridge for people, you know, to find some way of coming to terms with this without just throwing everything out and saying it couldn't be true, so therefore this woman's obviously a kook and the whole thing is a fraud. Because that's what we want to do in a way, because it just intellectually doesn't make sense. But when you meet the people and you experience the tremendous love that comes out of this community, and you experience the real intelligence and compassion and caring from people like John of God and the people who are on staff, not only at this CASA, but at other spiritist centers, you realize that something is going on that has its own intelligence,
mm-hmm.
as well as a profound roots in love and compassion and charity.
Well, thanks so much for being with us today, Emma, and for sharing this with us. Everybody be sure and go and check out John of God in Atlanta, because it's an opportunity that won't present itself very many times in your life. And I think he's going to come back in the fall, at least that's what I've heard.
Well, let me clarify. He actually does travel now more frequently, and he's going to Europe this summer. He'll be in Germany.
Is he?
And he'll be in Atlanta in April. He'll be in New Zealand in May. He'll be in Germany in the fall, and he may do one more trip in the fall.
Okay. Well, everybody be sure and check out John of God in Atlanta. Check out EmmaBragdon.com. And be sure and tune in over the next couple of months, because I'm doing a special segment on consciousness, the power of intent, and the existence of free will with some of the world's greatest thinkers, Dean Radden, Brenda Dunn, Robert John, Norm Shealy, Nick Goswami. We're going to do some amazing interviews that will absolutely prove the power of intention. And thanks again, Emma. I hope you'll come back sometime and tell us some more of your stories.
Thank you. I'd be delighted to.
And agape to you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Check out our website. My website is www.evaher.com. Be sure to tune in next week at BBS Radio for a great and enlightening story on consciousness and agape.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.